couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good over here on this Tuesday. As, like you said, we talked about it yesterday, Bunk, how, you know, the first, especially on Sunday games in the NBA playoffs were meh.
Yeah.
And so you didn't know what to expect today. And me and you both, I did the same thing, set up all night and watched both of those games. Just great basketball, missed calls. Everything you want in a basketball game as far as the competitiveness, great players being great, and the Lakers just don't matter. I'm just telling you, me watching that game, and I think I took the same approach and watched the halftime.
Yep.
And see what's going on. And I'm like, oh, Lakers looking good. D-Lo's actually playing good.
Six threes.
LeBron's playing
after
good.
All the stuff I said
everybody's
about him yesterday.
Everybody's playing good. And yet, and we know this about the NBA, a 20-point lead in the NBA is like, nothing.
Especially in this era with the three-point shot and that team in the Nuggets and that team in the Lakers.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's like that team in the Lakers. And what they did.
They're capable of
and
that.
And what they did was they let the one guy get going that – and we've seen him in playoff series in the past. I remember him in the bubble. I remember him last year. And they let Jamal Murray get going. And once he gets going, especially in the playoffs, this dude is different.
And it took 42 minutes. Yeah, like, it took until halfway through the fourth quarter.
Once he got it going.
He finally hit one of those little – they kept calling him mid-range. Is a 20-foot step back mid-range, I guess. Anything that's not
a three
or a layup is mid-range. Yeah. I was like, all right, that's pretty far from it. But anyway, soon as he hit one of those, it's like, uh-oh, here we go.
Here we go. And there they went. And the Lakers, I mean, and we were having fun and talking about, you know, the altitude got them. Like, would you say they could play it anywhere?
They could have played that at sea level. Yep. They could have played that under the water.
Yep.
They could have played that in an underwater submarine arena.
Yes.
The Nuggets were going to come back and get that game.
Yes.
And you could tell, like, because I was like, all right, fun first half. Like, AD's killing.
Yes.
D-Lo, six threes. Like, he's just pull ups.
Yes.
The thing I like about D-Lo is when he has it going like that, he looks the exact same as when he doesn't.
Right.
Just so casual.
Right.
Just, like, kind of saunters into it, hits a three.
Yeah.
And he had it cooking, and nobody was doing anything for the Nuggets. Mm. Like, all their best guys are missing shots. I know Jokic had great numbers at the end of it, but he didn't have his best game, certainly not offensively. But it was like, all right, I gotta watch five minutes of the third quarter and just kind of see. And you could, as soon as the Lakers started settling for bad three after bad three and just missing shots, and AD's not quite as dialed as he was in the first half, and it's like, all right, well, here they come.
Yep.
I'm not going to bed now. I gotta stay up and watch this game.
And there it went. And, you know, obviously a great shot by Jamal to get it off over AD, and you can't play better defense than that. It was just better offense.
Great players make great shots.
Yeah, man, and it was just crazy. Now they're going back to L.A. I think L.A. might get one. If they play like they played in this game, I think they could get one. Because they haven't played bad. It's just been closing out.
They played as good as they could play.
And look at the score.
And
Denver didn't
play great.
And everything like that. And they just can't find a way to win it, man.
Don't let Denver play a good game, though.
We're going to beat them by 20.
Jamal Murray was 9 of 24 last night. And again, Jokic, he ended up his stat line at the end of the game was insane. 27, 20, and 16 or something like that. 27, 20, and 10.
Good gracious.
But he went two quarters without making a field goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was not his normal self in that game for large parts of it.
Yeah.
But still, it didn't matter. Like, that's got to be the demoralizing thing about it, because that's what we talked about yesterday, is AD and LeBron are going to kind of do what they do. AD did another one of those second-half disappearing acts,
mm-hmm.
which I don't understand how that's possible.
Was he tired?
I don't know. I honestly don't understand how a guy as good as him can look the way that he looked in the first half and then just not be involved in the second half. And maybe that's on his teammates to get – I don't know. I don't know what it is. But D'Angelo Russell had 23 points last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like – he made 7 threes.
You needed him. You needed him to do that.
He made more threes last night than he made in the previous 9 games against the Nuggets combined.
Mm-hmm.
Like, And they still lost.
You got it. I mean,
there's nothing they can do.
Like, I just don't see it.
God, that's got to be just soul crushing to play
does,
like that.
Especially
and like,
Andy.
And LeBron's yelling about the refs after the game, which he's right about.
He's right.
I mean, D'Lo got fouled. I don't. That was the part. Were you listening to
them
discuss that?
I don't understand them discussing it when you. Because they went to the monitor, right?
Yeah, he slapped him in the face.
Slapped him in the face. What was the?
And the weirdest thing is like Jamal Crawford, who did a great job last night. Like Jamal Crawford, I know he's an up and coming broadcaster and all that, but like put him in those three man booths, like he's fantastic. Less Reggie as well, which was awesome.
Yes.
But him and Reggie are talking about, well, the ball was out of his hands when he hit him. So what are we talking about here? I didn't. What rule did I miss?
I don't know.
In the NBA rule book where you're allowed to slap a guy after the ball's out of his hands.
I've never heard that one. I never heard that before either, man. It was the whole night. I mean, we can go to the second.
That's not why they lost.
That was a third quarter call. That is not why they lost. But you look at it all the way around. I mean, the damn Nuggets. I mean, the Knicks game. I mean, Jalen Brunson can't play any worse than he has played these last two games.
Nope.
And they found a way. Now, I think Philadelphia, if Joel Embiid's 80%, they win both of these games because he's just that dominant. But him dragging that
leg. I don't know what percent he is, but
him,
it's not 80.
But he's still getting them buckets. But he can't rebound. And I love me some Tyrese Maxey. Slow down.
Yep.
Slow down.
Not being in the moment before showed up big
God,
at the end of the game last night.
He was
playing great.
He
was incredible
awesome.
In the fourth quarter.
Slow
down. You got a 5-point lead. Your best friend is the clock.
Yes.
The best thing that can happen is the more time goes off, they foul you, get to the free throw line, whatever. Now, he got fouled.
He did.
Tyrese Maxey got
fouled.
There's
no doubt about it.
I'm not surprised they didn't call it in that moment in New York against the Knicks, like all those things. They still had to make those shots. And it's a friendly rim for old Brunson. But, hey, that's a home court role.
Yeah.
And then DiVincenzo gets two looks at it. You can't give a shooter that good two looks at it.
He missed one. But then the thing about it is they didn't box out.
Nope.
Like, box out. We were talking about you the other day, Batum, great game. Box out. They get one defensive rebound. They win this
game.
They win the game. They get one defensive rebound, but obviously they weren't able to get that done, man. But, I mean, that place was rocking last night, boy. The Garden was – that thing was
– I know.
It was – woo, that energy was in there.
I feel weird about it because I don't like them, and I don't like their fans,
mm-hmm.
but I like their players. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Jalen Brunson a lot, and I like Josh Hart, and I like Dante DiVincenzo.
I've never
like,
not liked the Knicks because of the players.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's not really about the players.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been Knicks players that I haven't liked, but like for the most part, like I've liked a lot of Knicks players.
Right.
Melo was super fun to watch when he was there back in the 90s with all those guys. They were fun. Like, yeah, it's just the fans. It's just their fans that I find irritating.
Goodness
those are the ones. Those are the ones that ruin
it. But
everything.
Then when I got it done, and you can't, again, I don't know what the Lakers could do because I don't see D'Lo playing this good again.
No, he's not going to.
Don't see him playing this game again.
Yeah, that was the ticket. If you get the great game from LeBron and AD, which stat line wise you did, LeBron was incredible. Like LeBron, when he made those two threes in the fourth quarter, it was like, all right. LeBron said, enough's enough. We got to get out of here with this win. We played too good not to win. And then for the Nuggets to still come back and get that win. Like LeBron with the steal and then he dunks it like on that fast break. Like what are we doing?
Dude.
How's this guy 40
what about
years
the block
old?
On,
the block.
Murray tried to put him in the rim.
Yeah. Oh, and then he blocked a step back from Murray, got the outlet and made the finger roll while he's getting tackled by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
Like LeBron was unbelievable last night and yet and still it didn't matter. And again, the Nuggets didn't play that good. They played all right. They played all right, and that's why they're them.
They
played
good enough to win.
That's why, yeah, of course. That's
the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's 10 in a row. Like, the Lakers can't beat them.
Yeah. I mean, and some teams just got your number.
If you sweep them 2 years in a row, that's outrageous.
Yeah. Didn't they say they were Lakers' daddies after the series last year?
They could say whatever they want.
Whatever
they're
want.
Daddies, granddaddies,
whatever
stepdads,
whatever.
They're
want, man.
Every father figure you could possibly have.
Yeah, dog. So
that's what they are for the
I mean,
Lakers.
They still got two of the best players in the league. They just got to – you got to hope D'Lo gets that. And you got to find a way to stop the bleeding.
Because
they're the defending champions for a reason.
Bleeding's
and
not stopping.
The thing about it –
what's that called when you get a cut and you can't stop bleeding?
Bleed?
No, it's a disease. No, it's not hemorrhaging. I don't remember what it is.
A disease?
Yeah, there's like a thing when you don't form blood clots. I don't remember what it is, but that's what the Lakers have. They're about to bleed out.
Bleeding?
No, it's not bleeding. Thank you for saying it again, as if I didn't hear you the first time. Thrombophilia is not what I was going for, but we'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
people. Now, I'm looking it up.
It's some kind of philia. Like, when you can't stop.
Hemophilia. Yeah.
I know it's a philia.
The Lakers are hemophilia.
I know it's a philia.
The bleeding ain't going to stop. Okay?
A philia.
They're losing, and they're probably going to get swept. Maybe they'll get gentlemen swept.
Maybe.
But if they didn't win last night, they're not winning. That's crazy. That's got to be so demoralizing to play that well. D'Lo's 7 of 11 from downtown. Just cashing threes.
He's never shooting like that.
Yeah. Jamal's left, 9 for 24, but I made the most important ones when they mattered. I don't know. I do enjoy the Lakers losing. I will say that. Not that I'm some sort of Nuggets fan, but I do enjoy watching the Lakers lose. And then LeBron kind of whine about it afterwards. Kind of fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending, kick off the show. It was a major Atlanta sports retirement yesterday that we haven't mentioned yet. We'll get to that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I want to say thank you. You know, I think for the 14 years that I was the quarterback here, I felt the passion and the energy all the time. And it wasn't all smooth sailing. You know, there were ups and downs, and I'm sure lots of frustration and lots of, you know, enjoyable times as well. But I never took it lightly. You know, I kind of understood the position and the responsibility, you know, that I had, and I tried to do it as best as I could every day to come out and to be the best version of myself.
Matt Ryan there yesterday at Flowery Branch addressing the media as he officially announced his retirement. He signs a one-day contract with the Falcons yesterday and said all the right stuff, obviously. I mean, thanked everybody, thanked the fans there, his family, coaches, players, talked about all kinds of different stuff. And, I mean, it's fitting that he retires as a Falcon. It's unfortunate, kind of there's no reason to – 14 years, he played 15. No one really cares about the Colts here. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it didn't even really happen. Fitting to call it quits as an Atlanta Falcon, greatest Falcon of all time. And so there it is.
Yeah, I mean,
retires yesterday. Well, we knew he was going to at some point.
Yeah, I mean, just a class act. One thing about Matt Ryan that I've always observed and everything. He's always a class act. Always take. All the bumps and everything, the responsibility of what a franchise quarterback is.
Yep.
He did that. And, you know, he came here. Everybody knows when he got here. Dark times. It was dark times here for this football team, for this city. And he came in and he did some really good things. And obviously, I think he is the best Falcons ever. You know, there can be debate, and that's fine. But I just think that, you know, what he's brought, the consistency that he brought for all those years, I mean, he was just, you knew one thing, two was going to be there. And I've had the pleasure of being on – or not the pleasure, the displeasure of being on the opposite side of the sidelines when him and Julio and Rod and then were flying the way they were. It's just one of those things where it's I didn't want to see him leave. I understand why he did leave because he had to leave because you just can't do that and think I'm going to stay.
Yeah. It's not very often that a guy asks for a trade from a team and literally no one in the fan base has a problem with it.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, no, you did the right thing.
But yeah, I mean,
they screwed you over.
But yeah, that was just one of the things I told you. And when you both had this conversation, I remember when I retired and we moved back here and I was like, yeah, because I mean, I still threw it. My mind or anything has never wavered of my opinion of Matt Ryan as far as being a really good quarterback. But when I got here, I was like, damn, y'all like Matt Ryan?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Really?
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, oh.
I was like, oh, I've lived in multiple cities that would love to have Matt Ryan as their quarterback if you guys want to get rid of him.
That's what I kept saying. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it was, whatever. You can feel however you want to feel about any player. Like, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to be a fan, but, like, some of the general feeling towards him for a lot of his career was very confusing to me because he was so consistent, so solid, so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the seasons where they had things really put together, was great.
Yeah.
He was the MVP of the league.
Yep.
I mean, put together some incredible years. And I think it's also important to compare it to the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
The Falcons have played NFL football games since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They've made the playoffs 14 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very many times for how many seasons they've played. Six of those were when Matt Ryan was the quarterback. So he made the playoffs in about half of his years here. He made the playoffs half the times the franchise has made the playoffs. And honestly, if I'm given sort of like arguments for or against someone's place in history, the fact that he was able to do that with his franchise is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
No one else has been able to.
I agree with that.
They haven't made the playoffs since, and maybe they will this year. Yep. But, like, you know, the mistake I think that gets made sometimes, and I get it, like, you're comparing guys to this guy, that guy, whatever. He played in an era with incredible quarterbacks. He put up great numbers. Like, when it's all said and done, he's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, but maybe he won't.
Maybe
I don't know. I really, you know, I hope that he is because he's a really good player and is great for the franchise and all that. But I also think you have to put it in the context of the franchise that he played for.
I agree.
And the fact that he was able to have that much success with this franchise.
His ass should have been a Dolphin.
No one else had.
Yeah. His ass should have been a Dolphin.
Yeah.
Don't know what Bill Parcells and them were thinking. I know Jake Long was a really good player. Don't get me wrong. He was a damn good player. But, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, he should have been a damn Dolphin.
Were you still there?
No.
You were gone back.
No, yeah,
okay.
He should have been damn Dolphin.
Yeah, would have been. Who went number one that year?
Jake Long.
Jake Long.
Yep.
Who went
Chris,
number two?
Chris
Long.
Yeah, Chris came to St. Louis with us. That's my brother right there.
Well, I guess you guys weren't going to draft a quarterback because he had what, Bolger?
We had Bolger, okay. Then it was Matt, then it was, who was number four that year?
I don't remember.
It was so long ago, but it'll come to
the argument was Dorsey,
It was
right?
Dorsey. Dorsey was five.
He ended up going
Chiefs.
Five. Yeah, yeah.
He was
they got
to
the Falcons
Chiefs.
Got that one right.
Yeah, they got that one right. All the way right.
They nailed that one.
All the way right.
Yeah.
But, congratulations to Matt. Great career. Going to be a outstanding superstar broadcaster.
I know. That's the thing. It's like
yes.
This shouldn't have a factor in the long run, but it does because it's a human vote.
Yes.
And likability is just part of it. Like, Matt Ryan's only going to help his Hall of Fame argument by being one of the best broadcasters in the NFL, starting now and going forward. Like, people are just going to be around him. They're going to like him. Like, Tony Romo's stock went through the roof post-career because people were like, wow, he's really great at this. We really like him, even though obviously he was a very good quarterback. It's amazing. Or you kind of go the other way. Like, sometimes guys are really good players and they
stink,
aren't great broadcasters. And you sort of think of them differently because of that. It's human. It's human nature. But I don't know. I don't do the Hall of Fame because, like, if you're arguing against it, then you're basically just finding ways to say bad stuff about a guy who had a great career.
He had a great career.
And I'm not trying to do that.
Matt Ryan had a great career. He did. Yeah. And the numbers and everything, it shows that. And I think that, you know, he'll go down as one of the best quarterbacks of a generation of this era. But like you said, he played with some all-time greats in his era.
Sure.
He did.
Yeah. And I think that'll be the thing. Like, if the numbers today tell one story, maybe 10 years from now, they look a little bit different because a lot of guys in this era are going to have pretty eye-popping numbers because the game's changed and throw the football and all that kind of stuff. I don't get it. My main argument is he took the Falcons to the playoffs 6 out of 14 years. That's a miracle. Like, no offense, but it is. Like, because the other years that they've existed, they went 8 times.
Yes.
And there's a lot. Like, just the percentage of him taking them to the playoffs is enough for me. Like, wow, that's pretty good.
He's a great player.
Won a lot of games
here. He's a great player here.
All right. Here's Travis d'Arnaud doing it again.
Bang.
d'Arnaud. Oh, gosh. Get out of here, ball.
Love it.
Another home run for Travis d'Arnaud. That is 5 home runs in his last 8 official at-bats. Unbelievable.
I kept saying he hit 5 home runs over the weekend yesterday for some reason. It's because I knew he was going to hit one last night.
Exactly why.
I was predicting.
That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I knew
why I didn't say anything.
I knew it was coming last night.
Dude,
so
I mean, what an unbelievable.
Premonition.
Unbelievable, offensive output by Lil D. Travis d'Arnaud and he's him going out there and just being, you know, doing what he
I just
does.
Don't like that nickname.
You know, I think that because we were talking said why he didn't start and obviously he started yesterday. Bryce.
Yeah, maybe should have started him on Sunday.
You know, maybe
could have swept the damn Rangers.
But it was. I tell you what threw me off was the shortstop. I mean, the second baseman. I was like, who the hell?
Yeah.
I was like, is something wrong with my TV?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's the other guy.
I guess a nice little fielder.
He made a nice play.
Yeah, he's a nice
glove. His first RBI and everything like that, too.
There's such a, everything they said about him came true last night. He's like, guys, a really solid defensive player. Gets the bat on the ball and sometimes finds a hole. Gets slapped it down the right field line. You know how mad you'd have to be if you're the pitcher? Like,
damn,
come on.
Man. What you doing
he, like,
over there?
Fought that ball off what and you, ended up with a
what
double.
What you doing over there? But they got to win another stolen base and Ronnie all-time. As far as, you know, in Braves history, as far as stolen bases and everything. And, Bryce Elder, I thought Bryce Elder was good. Now, the first inning, I was like, okay, he's a little rusty. Might be a little shaky. Second inning, but he got in trouble. Second inning, and then he settled down. He settled down and was just consistent, great, didn't give up any runs. Had a few strikeouts and everything. And we talked about it yesterday. He seems like he was the guy they were waiting on. Maybe they wanted to, you know, bring – what's the dork again?
Who?
Not Vines, the other dork.
Wayans.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a dork.
Let's give them.
I don't think he's that good of a starting pitcher.
Let's get another one, and let's see if we can get him a couple more days, a couple more reps, you know, a couple more, you know, appearances up here at Gwinnett, and then we'll put him out there. He was great yesterday.
Yeah, Elder needs to be in the major league rotation.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he pretty well earned it last year. I know, like you're talking about making sure he was healthy and everything to make that start yesterday, but like 6 2/3, he's now gone 6+ innings more times than anyone other than Spencer Strider dating back to the beginning of the year last year. Like, he goes deep into ball games.
Yeah.
And he does it against the Marlins and teams like, but that's who he's pitching against. Like, yeah.
If he didn't, he'd be mad.
Yeah. I'm not going to knock him for having good starts against bad lineups. Like, he needs to take advantage of those bad lineups, and he did last night. And I don't know. I mean, just super steady, didn't walk anybody. Like you said, I know, got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but settled down. And I mean, he almost got out of it, too. He was one out away from going 7.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, all right, great. Turn it over to the bullpen, and we're good. Iglesias had the save last night. Like you said, Darno with another bomb. And the Braves go to 15-6.
Yes.
They're incredible. They're just going to win a lot of baseball games.
Yeah, I mean,
going to win a ton of games.
Bring on the Marlins again. Again, this is, you know, you're supposed to beat teams you're supposed to beat and everything. I know it's early and everything, marathon and sprint and everything, but, I mean, stack these damn wins. I think we'd be like, it's still early. No, yeah. I know.
The only teams that say it's still early are the
losers.
Teams that get off to bad starts.
And losers.
The only time we ever talked about it being early was when the Braves in 2021 didn't get over 500 until, like, mid-August,
yes.
Right? It was like, that's early.
Early.
It's not early when you're good, because
yeah,
all the wins count the same, right? Yeah,
oh, wait till it gets warm.
Like, I bet when the Mets got tracked down in the final week of the season by the Braves a couple years ago,
they said it was too late.
They would have loved to win some more games early. I know they got off to a great start, but
oh man, you know what? We just lost our steam. We were planning for the playoffs.
It was too late.
Yeah,
it was too late in the season. Yeah. We were an early season team.
Yeah, we just planning for a playoff.
Yeah, man. Crazy night last night in the NBA as well. I know we already talked about what happened in both of those games. Also, the Cavs won a series that if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, do you get to advance to the second round of the playoffs? I guess so. But yeah, the Knicks absolutely pulling out of the fire against the 76ers.
I mean, just...
And the Nuggets even crazier. Like, both of those teams, the Sixers and the Lakers, have to feel awful today. The Lakers have to feel worse.
I would think so. I would think so because of the fact of who you're playing against. Like, I'm sure Philly's mad.
Right.
Philly's more mad than anything, I think, with the blown calls and all those different things. And they think, because the one thing about it, I know, hear it all the time, like, role players play better at home. Like, because, I mean, the one thing about Embiid and Max, they're going to show up. You got to have them other guys, man. Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield played like trash yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Lowry, you were how long Kyle Lowry been in the damn NBA?
Forever.
Time out, dude. You know better. This is your thing. Everything is all this chaos and everything. Call time out. I know Nick Nurse was trying to get one and everything like that, but Kyle, come on.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable to see a team. And I know Maxey hasn't really been there before, but like a team of guys who've been in big moments just panic.
Slow down.
Like they just flat out panicked. When that Brunson shot went in, because they clanged and they were like, oh, he missed it, obviously, because he missed all his shots all night. And it somehow clanged and went in. They just panicked.
Yeah.
A bunch of, like, seasoned vets. Nick Nurse has won a championship.
Like, you don't have to inbound the ball to get it advanced.
No, we're good.
Time out.
We're good. Take a breath. Nah, they freaked out. It was a little bit like, not exactly like, but a little bit like the Reggie against the Knicks all those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they panicked, too. And
yeah.
Threw the ball in, falls down. Reggie grabs it, goes back, hits the three.
He fouled him, too.
Hits it, sure.
Yeah,
but they don't call fouls in those moments. They're allowed to push people down.
What a game.
And then they immediately went from that to Reggie on the call in the Lakers-Nuggets game, which is kind of funny.
Oh, Reggie. I like Reggie.
I don't.
I like Reggie.
I like his great player.
Yeah.
But, like, as a person who talks.
Everything else, miss.
No.
Nah.
Like, Jamal, come on. Jamal's coming for it.
You think so?
No one would have a problem with that.
Oh, I agree with that.
That would be one of the most universally approved moves in broadcast history. Jamal takes over for Reggie. Pass the baton. You did a great job. You're awesome. All right, we'll come back. Mike Conti is going to join us. We'll find out why Atlanta United can't hold a lead. We'll also talk a little Atlanta Hawks as the season has come to an end from the last time we talked to him as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Midday Show with Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Matt Ryan yesterday at his retirement press conference. Get around the league as well as the rumors are heating up, Randy. Teams are saying we're not open for business.
Nope. No. But
what you we got? Are, but we're not.
What you got, though?
But we are. What would you say? Washington's saying we're
They're
not doing anything?
Washington said we're not budging. No, you cannot have our number two pick.
Yeah.
We ain't going nowhere.
They need a quarterback.
Badly.
And they can get the second guy off the board at number two. Why would they move? I mean, I guess somebody blows their socks off, but yeah, you're going to stay there and you're going to make that
it
pick.
It makes no sense.
All right. We'll talk about all of that coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll obviously spend some time on the Falcons and what they may do in the draft at 12:20 as well. The back page with Bo an hour from now, but it is Tuesday at 11:40. That means it's time for Mike Conti. First and foremost, good morning, Mike. How are you?
We just had a very nice nod at each other. Like,
yes. Hello.
Andy?
It's professional.
Thoughts?
It was very professional, yeah. It was like very very formal. So since the last time we talked, the Hawks lost a play-in game. They had never done that before. The season's over. And I think everybody understands that there's questions this offseason. Do we agree that what the biggest question of the offseason is?
Well, it's got to be Trey, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a teardown of some degree. Is it going to be a five-alarm fire teardown that would involve Trey Young, or is it going to be a moderate renovation, which keeps Trey Young here? I think that's the question. And it's really hard kind of parsing what Trey said in his exit interview. Well, I guess it was Thursday. And then Steve Kuhnin was on with Dukes and Bell. I thought that was actually a very enlightening interview on Friday where Kuhnin, unprompted several times, said, you know, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the club. Talked about how Trey loves being here, but we're going to do what's in the best interest of the club. Thought that was, you know, and it was said several times. I just,
it's
maybe
like
I'm
a
overthinking
little bit
him.
Of a different phrasing than in the past, or
Trey,
what? Like, what?
Trey
what
loves being here, but okay, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the club. And by the way, I didn't take that to mean for sure that means that Trey's on his way out, but I did take that to mean that all options, including that one, are on the table.
Mike, what's going on with this soccer team that we all love as far as closing out these games? I mean, the momentum, everything is there, and it's just like last week, on this weekend, it's just one, just like – teams seem like they capitalize off there just a little off on a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like it just goes down there.
Yeah, they get punished every time they make a mistake. You know, good teams don't always get punished when that happens.
Right.
Bad teams always get punished when that happens. I'm not saying Atlanta United's a bad team. It is part of the explanation that you've had a rash of injuries at one particular position.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're playing with essentially your fourth and your sixth choice center backs, mistakes like that, like playing a short corner that's intercepted leading to a 95-yard counter, or not being able to clear a header off a recycled corner, when your backups mm-hmm. are hurt, those issues are going to get amplified. It's weird, though. Atlanta United's still top five in the league in goals allowed. They're still, I think, top five in the league in goal difference, top 10 in goals scored. They've played two really good teams, Philadelphia and Cincinnati. To me, I'm going to be more concerned if they don't look good in Chicago this week.
I got a question for you.
Just let me finish.
Okay.
They have been so awful on the road the last couple years. Now you're playing a team you just beat 3-0 at home and a team that just lost 4-0 to RSL last week. Man, oh, man. Like, if you can't go into Soldier Field and get 3 points out of that,
right,
and then that drops you below 500 on the season, one quarter of the way in, then I'm going to start to be concerned.
Atlanta fully loaded against Philly and Cincinnati, because, like you said, they're both good teams.
Yeah.
Where do you like Atlanta with those?
Atlanta
those
fully loaded against Philly. I think they easily beat Philadelphia at home. Okay. I don't think they beat them on the road. Atlanta fully loaded against Cincinnati, I think, is a very even matchup. Cincinnati is really good.
Right.
Like, if you look at them, they've got a back line of like a 5-3-2 where DeAndre Yedlin, Matt Miazga, and Miles Robinson are in that back line of five. Those are three U.S. Yeah. World Cup. Not
national, team back.
More than national team.
Yeah.
World Cup starters
right.
in 26, potentially. You know, and then you work your way up. You've got the league MVP in Acosta. They brought in, I forget how to pronounce his name, from Argentina, who scored the first goal. Orellano really, really had a good game. Celentano, who did not play on Saturday, probably in the mix to start for the U.S. national team in the 26th World Cup. Like, they're really good. They're deep. And Atlanta United's really good, and they're deep when they're healthy.
Right.
What you have to hope for now is that Giakoumakis, who played 30 this past Saturday, can give you maybe 60 this week. Sounds like Gregerson is training. You're going to need him now. The Noah Kampf thing was just so unlucky because it sounds like that migraine happened at like such the last minute that they didn't even have time to warm up an effort in Morales, and they had to go to Ronald Hernandez just to improvise because he had some experience and play him at center back in a back line of four, which he had never done before. So it's a good question. I mean, I think right now Columbus and Miami, that is a group. That is not a group Atlanta United is in right now.
Right.
I think the next step down, Atlanta United, when healthy, is in that group. And I would put Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Toronto, I guess, is probably there right now. I mean, Toronto somehow seems to be figuring it out with their superstar Italians that had not worked out very well under their last coach. So Vancouver's probably in that group. LAFC, LA Galaxy, probably in that group too.
Mike Conte joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Atlanta United, talking some Hawks. Hawks hired a new assistant GM.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I heard analytics, and I kind of lost track of my
thoughts.
My thoughts.
Yeah, my attention.
I just heard analytics.
Got it.
You know, look, good pedigree from Golden State. They've gone there before.
True.
I would argue they found a very good general manager from Golden State before. It's not the general manager anymore.
No.
And since he has not been the general manager, things have gone downhill. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully this works out. I think ultimately you could have Jerry West running this thing. You could have Danny Ainge running this thing. You could have Brad Stevens running this thing. But it's not going to change anything dramatically until you can find players who want to come here and play, and you find a group of players that you judge is willing to go into the luxury tax to spend for. And I respect the decision that, all right, well, Kevin Huerter might not have been worth going into the tax
right.
for. All right.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure I agree, but I respect that decision. John Collins might not have been a player worth going into the tax for. Again, not sure I agree, but I respect the decision. Now you've got to find players that are going to make it clearly better to the point where it's worth going into the tax to spend for it. I think that's probably going to be easier said than done because
mm-hmm.
you don't have a lot of assets right now to go into the trade market. You don't really have the spoil of first-round draft picks that you can go out and spend with. And then the larger the contract of a player that you might be trading out, the more difficult it is to move that contract and not get, like, just guys to add up to that value and make up the difference.
Mike, 2 days away from the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to have a lot of stuff going on here. Where are you? Because we haven't actually really about the NFL draft. What are you looking at as far as the eighth pick for the Falcons?
Well, I think right now, the way it looks, they're probably going to get their choice of pretty much any defensive player in the draft.
Right.
If it works out where the Falcons stay at eight. I really see opportunities here, though, for the Falcons to maybe move down even slightly and still get really good help defensively and then bolster their depth maybe with a second or a third round pick on top of it. I think the, kind of black balloon that's hovering over this whole thing is the tampering and if something's going to happen between now and Thursday and if the Falcons could be stripped of a pick or have to exchange a pick or something like that, because that could radically alter everything. But as it is right now, if they stay at eight, they'll get their choice in all likelihood of any defensive player in the draft. And if they don't, like let's say a Dallas Turner was taken in the top seven, then you're going to get maybe a Joe Alt or a wide receiver. Maybe, I know it'd be controversial, maybe even a quarterback. You know, I mean, do you take J.J. McCarthy if he's there? I don't think I would. I don't like that. I think you have more pressing needs right now, and you can find a good quarterback in the mid rounds. But you know, things could evolve on Thursday where that could be possible.
That's interesting. I hadn't done a lot of thinking about that possibility.
Yeah,
that would be the thing that would make people most mad. Like, yes. we're trying to come up with
there'd be really strong reactions.
Yeah,
to that.
Like the biggest reaction in a negative way would be if they did that. And so I hadn't considered that. I was like, what's going to make Falcons fans the most mad?
I think that would be the least.
It is the least likely. It's definitely the least likely.
You know,
yeah. No, if they took him there, that would be
Remember, there was polarizing reaction to Bijan.
Oh,
there was major polarizing reaction to Drake London. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to please everyone with what you do.
Of course.
But I just think there's a lot of intriguing options on the table for the Falcons. I think it's going to be a really exciting night Thursday. Really exciting. It's been such an exciting offseason to this point. And the way this is going to develop and unfold over the next week, like by this time next week, we're going to be sitting here, we're going to be talking to each other about really, truly what the 2024 Atlanta Falcons mm-hmm. are going to look like and really start to handicap from there. And a lot of things, I think, very positively could happen over the next few days.
Oh, because I wanted to get real quick about the sanctions. What do you think?
I think it is too late to do anything for this year.
Right.
If you do it, you are going to make every other team recalibrate their draft boards as well. And I think that's unfair this close to the actual draft.
They
that would be my guess.
They wouldn't do something that would affect Thursday, would they?
Unless something has been pre-negotiated that they're going to announce. You're 48 hours away. Well, 56 hours away,
right?
According to the ESPN clock.
Yeah.
You're going to make 31 other teams recalibrate their draft boards if you do something like that. I think it's too late.
Right.
Do it next year.
Yeah, I think so too. Man, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird the way that it's kind of bubbling up.
I know one guy felt like
something that was going to be not that big of a deal. But
I know one guy who will be very happy. That Mike Florio guy.
Yeah, boy,
the CEO. Boy, oh boy, God. Is he just
really
banging the drum on this one.
Really cares about tampering all of a sudden. That's really interesting. Yeah. Mike, thank you.
See you guys.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. Let you hear a little bit more from Matt Ryan coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.